went home this afternoon thinking about some of the things that were mentioned and talked about in our Bible class this morning with our visitor. One of the things that I was reminded of, not just in that thinking, but in some of the comments that some have said, there's always, and in, even in what he said, sometimes we can begin to question whether I can be faithful to God, whether I can remain. We hear often that there are those that teach you cannot fall from grace, or we hear it as once saved, always saved. And we speak against that, certainly, and I'm convinced we have scriptural reasons to do so. And we, I think, various ones in the audience and such this morning did a fine job of dealing with some of the things that were said in regards to that. But we also need sometimes to remind us that it is possible for us to remain faithful. Rather than always looking at it from the standpoint of you can fall from grace, which we do when we try to refute this idea, let's recognize that the Scripture also gives us some instruction and some guidance in not falling from grace, remaining faithful to the Lord. So we want to talk about that a little bit this evening. Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, Jesus was saying to them, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." And this is not the only place where this is recorded. In Matthew, it's also recorded. It doesn't include the word daily there. There's other passages as well. And I thought it interesting, the songs that Brother John led us in this morning talked about us following Jesus or letting him lead us. And I think that's a part of what we're considering this evening. We have to decide that we want to follow Jesus. And when we do, that means we're going to have to pick up and do whatever's necessary in order to do that, just like we would in following anything. When we talk about can I remain faithful, maybe one of the things we need to consider is the idea of faithful. And as that word is found in our New Testament scriptures, it's translated from a Greek word that I can't pronounce very well. And I don't know, if I called out the words, you wouldn't know what the definition was of it anyway, probably, unless I told you what the dictionary said. And so when we think about that word faithful, what we're talking about is trustworthy, trustful, believing or believer, sureness, certainty. These are the ideas that are behind this idea of faithful. And I think oftentimes in helping us to grasp the idea we're talking about when we're talking about remaining faithful to the Lord, maybe that word trustworthy is a word, or trustful is a word that would help us to better grasp that idea and see how it applies in us. Because when we talk about being faithful, that's what we're talking about. Being someone that other person that we are being faithful to can trust to continue. And when we look through the pages of Scripture, we find that there are any number of folks, there are several that are mentioned as being faithful. I've got a list of some here. This may not be all of them, but it's a list. Paul recognizes that he is seen as faithful by God. He renders himself or calls himself as faithful to the Lord. Antipas is mentioned in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 13, and the letter was written to the church there as being a faithful one of God. Stephen, Acts chapter 6 and verse 7. He was known as faithful. Timothy was told that there would be faithful men that he could commit the word of God to, and they would go and commit it to others and teach it to others as well. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 15, we read Lydia speaking to Paul and Silas and said, "If you have counted me faithful, come and stay with me in my house. Come and dine with me." Gaius is spoken of as being faithful in 3 John in verse 5 because of the actions that he had done in supporting and helping the brethren that were traveling from one place to another. Silvanus, as we hadn't quite got to verse 12 yet, but in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 12, Peter makes mention of Silvanus as his faithful brother, his faithful, the one who was with him, the one he could depend upon. And then, of course, Titus is mentioned in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 21 as a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord by the Apostle Paul. And when we look at some of the things around some of these people, we're not going to take the time to go and look at all these examples, but I would encourage you to take the time to consider some of these. It helps us to better understand what we're talking about when we talk about one who is faithful. When Paul talks about the Lord considering him as being faithful, he recognizes that the reason the Lord considers him as being faithful is because the Lord could count on him to go and do what he'd asked him to do, to spread the message to the Gentiles. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about being faithful, remaining faithful. And it's also the idea as expressed there in the book of Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, taking up our cross and daily following the Lord. So we have some examples of those who are faithful. And I think this is one of the things that can give us confidence that we ourselves can be faithful today. We can trust. We can have, another word we use is assurance of our salvation, if we can see that we are faithful to God. Does that mean we're going to be perfect? No. There's other lessons where we've dealt with that, and we'll continue to deal with that. And it's constantly a struggle. And some of the passages we'll look at will talk a little bit about that struggle. But we can be faithful. Some other things that might give us the understanding we need in order to know that we can be faithful is that we're promised that we can be with Jesus. Oh, and y'all are seeing all the rest of my points too because I didn't take them off. Oh well. We can be with Jesus. How do we know that? Well, in Revelation chapter 17 and verse 14, these will wage war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them because He is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with Him are the called and chosen and faithful. The faithful are going to be with Jesus. Maybe a passage that we're more familiar with that emphasizes this idea that we can be with Christ. We can fellowship with God. We can fellowship with the Son. We can fellowship with the apostles. John talks about that in 1 John chapter 1. And we talk about that this morning in Bible class, but look over at 1 John chapter 1. John says, what was from the beginning, what we've heard, what we've seen with our eyes, what we've looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life, and the life was manifested, and we've seen and testified and proclaimed to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. John says there, we have presented to you this word. We have spoken to you all of these things that we have been told, that we have heard, that we have touched, that we have seen with our own eyes. Our witness has been presented to you so that you can have fellowship with us as we have fellowship with God and His Son. This is the message that we've heard and announced to you, that God is light and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and the word is not in us. How do we come in fellowship with God? By walking in the light as He is in the light. We can have a relationship with God. But that relationship with God requires us to be faithful. Here's one of the ways in which we can know that we can be faithful, because God says in order to have a relationship with me, you must be faithful. And since we desire and God desires for us to have a relationship with Him, we can be faithful. We can be faithful because we can be with Jesus. Jesus illustrates this with a vine in John chapter 15. I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You're already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. We can be faithful because we're promised that we can be with Jesus. And in order to be with Jesus, we must be faithful. We can't be in fellowship with God or with the Son unless we are doing the same things they're doing, unless we are following according to their will, if we're not walking in the light. We can't be faithful because we can be with Jesus. We can also be faithful because it's required. See, I told you, you already seen all my points. For this part anyway. We can be faithful because God requires faithfulness. Revelation 2 and verse 10. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. That's not a request. That's a command. It's also a conditional statement. Either you be faithful, and I'll give you a crown of life, or you don't be faithful, and I won't give you a crown of life. We recognize that conditional statement in the way it's said. And it doesn't take much reading of the book of Revelation to realize this is the word of Christ sent to those in that church, in that assembly. Jesus said, be faithful. In James chapter 1, beginning in verse 2, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith, without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. We're promised that God has great blessings for us. We're promised that God will watch out for us. God will care for us. He will, James says here, give us wisdom if we have faith. I know that I can be faithful because God requires me to be faithful. We are referenced as stewards or servants of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, let a man regard us in this manner as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. In this case, moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found trustworthy. That's the New American Standard Version. Some other versions render that faithful, because that's the meaning of the idea. We're described as stewards of God, and stewards are required to be faithful and trustworthy. We could go back to some of those parables that Jesus taught about stewards and their masters, and see how the ones that were faithful were the ones that were rewarded. The ones that were not faithful were the ones that suffered punishment. We're faithful. Commanded to be faithful. Required like it would be required of a soldier. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, suffer hardships with me as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. There again, we're soldiers of Christ. And we have the same expectations as a soldier would have. That's why that term's used to describe us. To be faithful to our master. to our military, or to our commander. That's the term I'm looking for there. The soldier is faithful to his commander. One that probably we can appreciate better than a steward or a military service, although some can appreciate that better than others, is marriage. We need to be faithful like a spouse. In Romans chapter 7, verse 1 through 4. Do you not know, brethren, for I'm speaking to those who know the law, that the law has jurisdiction over a person as long as he lives? Here's the example. He says, for the married woman is bound by law to her husband while he's living. But if her husband dies, she's released from the law concerning the husband. So then, if while her husband is living, she's joined to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law, so that she is not an adulteress, though she is joined to another man. Therefore, my brethren, you also were made to die to the law through the body of Christ, so that you might be joined to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. Paul here uses the illustration of the marriage bond, the husband and wife relationship, and the things that they knew and understand about the law. If a woman is married to a man and she goes and gives herself to another man, she's not faithful to her man. That's why she's calling her daughter. And Paul compares us. He says, you have been joined to Christ. The one you had been joined to has been put to death. The law of Moses. You're now joined to Christ. And you must be faithful to Christ. You see, I know I can be faithful because God requires me to be faithful. And God has never, in any instance that I've been able to find anywhere, given a requirement that could not be achieved. I can be faithful. We can also be faithful and know that we can be faithful because God has given us instruction on how to be faithful. One of the things that we find as we go through the pages of Scripture and consider the things that are contained therein, no matter what period of time we're reading from, whether it be from the very beginning of time or in the midst of the time of the patriarchs or the times of the heyday of the Israelites or their captivity or in the New Testament, God does not give instruction on how to do something that doesn't matter. If God gives us instruction on how to do something, it's because it matters. And God gives us instruction on how to be faithful one place, and we'll touch on this, but we'll be looking at this in more detail in the coming weeks or months if we move on into 2 Peter when we finish 1 Peter. Peter gives us instruction on how to be faithful. In 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 4, for by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Think about that. Peter said, we've been given these things so that we can devote ourselves to God, so we can be faithful. For this very reason, or because of this, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. Therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present with you. I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder, knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent, as also our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to you, me, and I will also be diligent that at any time after my departure, you will still be able to call these things to mind. I know that's a long reading. There's a lot involved there, and we're not going to get into all the details. We got several Bible classes. We can deal with that later. But Peter says, here's how you remain faithful. Starts with diligence and increasing. And it includes more diligence in application and practice. And how we know those things we ought to do, how we can exercise ourselves in that diligence, we learn that through the Word. What other reason would Peter have for making sure that even after he was dead and gone, they'd still be able to know what the will of God was? Because he's given them instruction on how to be faithful. I can know that I can be faithful to the Lord because God's given me instruction on how to do it. Paul told Titus, holding fast the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching, so that he will be able both to exhort in sound doctrine and refute those who contradict. And he's talking about those who are in positions of leadership, but the principle applies to all. By keeping ourselves in the Word. As we looked at this morning in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 9, resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same experience of suffering will be accomplished by your brethren throughout the world. We remain faithful to God by applying His Word. That's what God said to do. And by resisting Satan. And part of that resisting is accepting that we're going to have to deal with suffering. Everything's not going to go the way we want it to. And everybody else is suffering in some manner or another as well, your brethren. Jesus said the work of God is that you believe in Him who He has sent. How do we remain faithful to God? We believe on Him. We give attention to the things that He's revealed. We lean on Him for our understanding and our knowledge. Paul warned the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20 that they needed to be on guard for themselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which He purchased with His own blood. He said, I know after my departure, grievous wolves or savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from your own selves men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be on the alert. Watch. Remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Paul's teaching there from God is, if you want to remain faithful, you start watching. You stay on guard. And then you go into the Word, because that's what's going to keep you. You see, this remaining faithful, it's not that we're going to be perfect, but it means we're going to have to watch. We're going to have to give care. We're going to have to exercise caution. Be alert. Be awake. And be active in serving the Lord. I can be faithful because God's told me how to be faithful. And if I'm willing to put my life into His hands and trust in Him, I know I can do what He would have me to do. Paul told Timothy, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by His appearing in His kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. I'll tell you what, the idea that once I'm saved, I'm always saved, would make life pretty easy. But I find time and time again in the pages of Scripture that life as a child of God ain't easy. It's a constant struggle. It's always watching. There are many who would tell us that, hey, if you believe in Jesus, you've been saved and you've got it made. And it sounds real good. But it's not what the Bible says. And of course, part of what they want to say to us, well, if you believe you've got to do things in order to remain pleasing unto God, then you're putting your salvation in your hands. What they've missed is there's a sense in which God has put my salvation in my hands. Now, I can't be saved without God. If Jesus hadn't died on the cross, I would have absolutely no hope, and neither would you or anybody else that's ever lived. And if it were not for the grace of God looking down upon me and ready and willing to bring me back and accept me again when I fail and come back to Him, I wouldn't have any hope. But God has said, you have to choose to serve me. And you have to keep choosing it every single day. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, Jesus said, well, the word enter is there. But by using that word enter in the instructions He gives, He says, choose to go in the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. We have to choose to serve the Lord. It's up to me whether I remain faithful or not. God's given me everything I need in order to do so. But it's up to me. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. We'll read this and we'll come to the close of our lesson. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 31. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him over for us all, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is He who died, yes, rather was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress? Or persecution or famine? Nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we're being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We're in the same position as the fellow that's out and broken through the ice into the freezing water and somebody threw him a rope. If we're not going to grab a hold to that rope and hold on, we're not going anywhere. There's nothing that can take that rope away from us. There's nothing that can get in our way of following that rope out to our salvation. But if we don't hold on to that rope, we're lost without any hope. God has given us sufficient assistance and methods by which we can come to Him. He's given us a pathway by which we can be in a relationship with Him, and He has given us everything we need in order to walk that pathway. But He expects us to walk it. And that's a choice that you and I have to make. Not just be 40 years ago, almost 40 and a half years ago now, when I said I believed in the very Baptist. Not just 34 years ago, when I said I messed up, I want to come back. But today, and tomorrow, and every day that I walk on the face of this earth, I have to walk the path God has given me to walk. And as long as I walk that path, I know I'm saved. Path is clearly laid out in God's Word. It's not hard to find. It's not hard to follow. But it takes persistence. Entering into heaven requires that I be trustworthy in handling the Word of God in my life. Are you being trustworthy with God's Word in your life today? If not, you are. Only by remaining on the path and following the Lord can we enter into heaven. We need to do our part to encourage and strengthen one another and to help others to know that as well. But we have a responsibility, and you're afraid that I have a responsibility to me. If I will be faithful, it's my work that must be done. God's just waiting. He's done his part in providing me with all I need. Now, it's my action. You find the prayer of the Lord and the courage to correct, pray to Him and ask Him to forgive, the congregation can pray with you. You need to pray, the congregation certainly will need to pray on your behalf. Won't you come and stand and say,